You've been listening to Who's Talking, and tonight Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, and Michael Tusky are here enjoying a week just prior to another home football game, so there's a lot of excitement around. Jimbo, any comments or any thoughts?
No, I should be like I should be like Monty and with Bob Uecker. Monty, your thoughts? Well, not really, Monty. But at this time, before we get Dirk Kastra on the air, he'll be joining us momentarily. But let's go back. We were going to do this in the first hour, ran out of time. But at this time, we're going to do our play of the game, sponsored this fall by our friends at LeClaire Ryan. Frank.
Well, after scoreless first half on Tuesday night, UVA was playing American U up at Klockner Stadium when none other than sophomore forward Will Bates of Thomas Dale High School sparked the Cavalier offense when his shot ricocheted off an American University defender near the goal in about the 60th minute. Junior forward Brian Ownby from Deep Run High School right here in Richmond was able to one-touch the rebound into the net to give the Cavaliers a 1-0 lead. Virginia would go on to win the game 2-0, and that continues a trend for Virginia where they have now beaten 16 consecutive non-conference opponents in a row.
Off to another terrific start to a soccer season. Hopefully the Hoos will find a way to repeat as national champions. That would be terrific. What
George Galnovich is on a roll now.
Bruce Arena, did he win five? He won five. I don't know if they were all consecutive or not.
I think four championships in like 5 or 6 years, but George Galnovich is trying to win his second in a row, which would be quite an achievement.
Yeah, back-to-back is not easily done in any college sport anymore. We might mention, and we'll probably mention this again, next Wednesday night at Richmond BMW, we're doing a live remote. We want all of our listeners and fans to come on out and visit us at that time, 6 to 8 next Wednesday, and we have a couple of special guests.
None other than former UVA wide receiver, Fontel Mines. I was so busy thinking of Mines. Fontel Mines, who grew up right here in Richmond at Hermitage High School.
And you were thinking Montel. What was Montel, the guy who used to have a talk show? Williams or something?
Yeah, you've thrown so many names at me.
Fontel
is a terrific guy. And he played 3 years with the Chicago Bears, where they converted him to a tight end. And Fontel has invited none other than former UVA quarterback Jameel Sewell. So we will have the two Hermitage boys with us out at Richmond BMW next Wednesday night. We'll be gathering at 5:30. There'll be food and drink. There'll be some door prizes. And for everyone that test drives a Richmond BMW, there will be a special drawing for some terrific prizes, such as some Primo tickets, also some something really fancy. We're working on it with their advertising firm, and we should announce it certainly by Friday on Facebook what that drawing prize will be. So
I may let you handle the 7 to 8 hour by yourself, and I may take a little spin.
I know.
A little spin out in the new Beamer. A little 3 series, 5 series, whatever. Cabo would look good in a new Beamer.
Well, I would say so. Although you've already got a BMW, which I'm always jealous of. But anyway, we're looking forward to the live remote coming up just next week.
Well, we still don't have Dirk on the line, so do you want to go ahead and, speaking of Michael Tusky, bring him in with a little Olympic update while we wait for the call from Dirk?
Go ahead, Michael. Take it away, buddy.
Well, as mentioned earlier, the Virginia men's soccer team beat American University 2-0 last night. That was a good thing, considering they had suffered their first loss of the season last Saturday to number 12 Wake Forest. And that was the first game they have lost going back a year to October 2009. With that loss, the Cavaliers are ranked 5 now, 5th in the country, and have a record of 4-1-1. The team travels to Clemson this Saturday for their third ACC matchup and then hosts Longwood University on Tuesday. Both of those matches begin at 7 p.m. The 5th-ranked Virginia women's soccer team also lost for the first time this weekend. Not a good soccer weekend for the University of Virginia. They lost 1-0 to unranked West Virginia on Sunday in Morgantown. Their record is now 6-1-1. The Cavaliers travel to Virginia Tech tomorrow to open up ACC play. Game time in Blacksburg is 7 p.m.
That's a huge game. I believe we've got Dirk Kastra holding on the line, and just to give a nice little intro here, Dirk was a former UVA basketball player. I believe his father was also a basketball player, Javo, so it should be some
family tradition.
And some brotherly love on your part, you being a
football guest. Well, we always got to take care of the hoops guys, that's for sure. You know, we're at a football time of year, but it's nice to welcome a hoops guy to us. Dirk, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Good. We just thought, to start with, why don't you bring the fans and listeners and certainly any former UVA athletes in the area who are not aware of it, although it's hard to imagine they're not, but the all-sports reunion weekend, the weekend of, what, the 15th and 16th of October. Why don't you bring us up to date with the activities that are scheduled in Charlottesville?
Okay, great. This is about our third or fourth year we've been doing it. We started an effort several years ago to try to do a better job of connecting with all of our former athletes across all 25 sports throughout a series of communications with the athletic department, our office, coaching staff, current athletes, all kind of culminating in a weekend in Charlottesville during a football weekend. And we try to pick a game during the year that is, you know, an attractive game for people to come back and have a big, huge tailgate prior to the game, have a fun time at the game, but also incorporate all of the individual sport-specific events into the entire weekend. So we'll have an event for every single sport with the coaching staff of the respective sports, and it ranges from alumni games to dinners to receptions to watching practices, a lot of fun events throughout the weekend, beginning on Friday afternoon with a golf tournament running all the way through Sunday morning, really, where we have some breakfast and fellowship and good things like that. So it's a jam-packed weekend. We've had anywhere from starting out the first year we did it from 300 or 400 athletes coming back to upwards of 700 or 800 athletes coming back. So it's become a lot of fun for us to reconnect with our former athletes and giving them an opportunity to see one another. Many times haven't seen each other in a long period of time.
Well, you picked a great weekend. North Carolina, always a draw, and then mid-October, maybe by then it won't be 97 degrees. We've had an unusually warm September here, and I think it's supposed to be pretty hot this weekend for the football game. But by October, we trust it'll be a little cooler.
Yeah, October in Charlottesville is maybe the best time of year. As the leaves change, it gets a little cooler. And who could argue with the oldest rivalry in the South to watch on the football field?
I think that's a great point. Dirk is, and this is Who's Talking that you're listening to, and we're talking with Executive Director of the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Dirk Katstra. We're taking calls as well, 345-0910. Dirk, just some general thoughts. You know, Jim Hobgood and I have always been big supporters of the VAF, and you know, in just a few words, maybe you can describe the mission of the VAF for those that may not be aware, and also what are the challenges that you face in this difficult climate today?
You know, our foundation was founded in 1948 as a private foundation, primarily started to raise a little bit of scholarship money to attract some athletes to play and study at the university, and it's grown significantly through that time. And we're the fundraising arm for the athletic department, doing everything from fundraising for scholarships to facilities, raising endowments to special projects for the athletic department. Basically, if Greg Littlepage says, hey, we need to try to accomplish this and it requires some funding, he asks us if we think we can go find support for it. And so we're out talking to thousands of Cavalier fans across the country to see if we can't support it. And that's been a lot of fun for me as a former athlete, to be involved on that side of the athletics department, being, you know, in a position now to give a little bit back and try to create just a wonderful academic and athletic experience for over 600 student athletes.
You know, Dirk, this time of year, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, this time of year we're driving on an annual campaign that is the primary source of funding for all of our scholarships, and we closed that out in December. So we're pretty focused on that right now, but we're also focused on raising money for endowment and looking at facility projects and really everything across the board that Craig Littlepage and his team might need us to look at.
You know, the one thing that periodically comes up from an expense standpoint is Virginia, and I think there are some schools that are different from Virginia in this regard. But if we have an athlete from Pennsylvania, let's say the VAF has to pay out-of-state tuition for that individual, which makes it a little more expensive. Talk about that a little bit, and if you're at liberty to say which schools are different in that regard, that might be of interest to the fans too.
You know, we pay the full freight. So KT Harrell, one of Tony Bennett's recruits coming from Alabama, we're funding his scholarship through private contributions, and we'll pay the university almost $45,000 this year for his scholarship alone. For an in-state student athlete, it's half that, $22,000, $23,000. So we really like the emphasis that Coach London is putting on in-state recruiting, not only from a talent perspective, but
it's a good business decision
to make the dollar go a longer way. So, you know, we're a little bit different. There's some schools that allow their fundraising operation to fund scholarships all at the in-state rate. North Carolina does that. The University of Maryland does that. A lot of the private schools in our conference and across the country, they may have stipend help from the university or a ceiling on what they're actually going to pay, tuition waivers, some of those sorts of things. So, you know, we are a self-sustaining athletic program, receiving no money from the state, and we rely heavily on the support from private contributors to fund all of our scholarship support, and that out-of-state scholarship is getting extremely expensive.
Yeah, particularly with the out-of-state tuition increasing, and the in-state tuition's increasing to some extent, but the out-of-state really has increased at Virginia. Just a quick follow-up question. Who makes that decision? Is that a Board of Visitors decision, or is that a General Assembly decision, or who would be in a position or have the authority to change that?
The Board of Visitors evaluates the tuition, the costs each and every year, and it's in consultation with the folks in Richmond and state legislature, and there's a lot of discussion right now going on about how higher ed is funded, and we're watching pretty closely where the Board of Visitors ends up on this particular issue, because obviously it has a direct impact on us. You know, last year alone, the tuition increase was on average about 7.5% thereabouts, and when you apply that across all 316 scholarships that we fund, that's about a little over $1 million increase. So for every, you know, 7.5-8% increase each year, you know, that's another $1 million we have to raise just to stay even.
Dirk, a couple of thoughts come to mind really quickly. Any discussion of new facilities and or additions or renovations to current facilities? And is there any truth to the rumor that there might one day be an indoor football practice facility?
You know, we've been in a heavy, heavy facility fundraising and construction mode really since the late 90s when we began the Scott Stadium expansion and the Carl Smith Center. You know, that was an $87 million project that we raised money for and had a lot of private support behind. And since then, we had smaller projects in between that and the arena, obviously the arena being our largest project we've ever done. We just completed a $4 million expansion and enhancement to the baseball stadium that turned out fabulous.
I would say that was
an enhancement for the program, and will allow Brian to continue to recruit top kids throughout the country.
Absolutely.
So right now, we've done all the projects that we were on the books. So now we're just evaluating what is left that we haven't done. We're currently studying a couple of facilities, a track and field facility, which that facility was built in 1971 and really hasn't had anything done to it since then. So we're looking at that. We're looking at some things for some of our other sports. And really, when we're in the feasibility stage, we're just trying to get an understanding as to what we actually would need to do to a certain facility and then how much it would cost. And then how much we would have to go out and raise money to fund it. And is the donor support potentially out there to try to pull it off?
You know, Dirk,
anytime we do a fundraising project, it's going to be solely reliant upon our ability to fundraise. And in order to kick one of those projects off, a lead gift is paramount in order to get that off. And the lead gift is in the neighborhood of about half of the cost of the project. So in some of these cases of a $5 million project, I mean, that's a pretty big lead gift.
Yeah, when you started all those projects back in the late 90s, Park Hill still had some dark hair. It's all gray now, so it's been a stressful decade for him.
Yeah, we've all grayed a little bit, myself included, and I'm not sure if it's the kids at home or the amount of fundraising we've been trying to do.
Well, you've been talking about some big numbers there when you add all that up between the football stadium and John Paul Jones Arena and all the other things. It's a significant amount of money that you have had as an objective over the past decade.
You know, we've been really fortunate to have people that believed in what we were trying to do to the point that they were willing to support it. Because it's one thing to have an idea about what you want to build and accomplish and provide for our student athletes. It's another to be able to go out and have a receptive ear from our alumni and fans and have them willing to support it. And we have arguably the best donor support in the entire country. As I travel across the country and talk to my colleagues, in a lot of ways they're amazed at the level of support that our donors have continued to provide us. And we've just been really, really fortunate in that regard and extremely thankful for that.
I would second that emotion. Virginia does not have a large alumni base compared to many of the schools that we compete against, such as North Carolina and the like of those schools, which have much larger graduating classes every year. I know that we've got a caller on the line, Tim, who has a question about, I believe, the UVA Athletic Fund. I think we just lost him. He just dropped off. Dirk, any final thoughts as we get ready to go to break here?
You know, one thing, just a short comment. I was fortunate enough to be able to go out with the football team out to California, to Los Angeles, and I visited some of my colleagues at UCLA and at USC. Just it's always good to see how other schools are doing things, and so we trade ideas and see what they're doing, and it's just really interesting to see how those two schools do things compared to ours. You know, football is obviously paramount at USC, and they do a really nice job with what they do. Basketball is king at UCLA. They're trying to renovate Pauley Pavilion to the tune of about $100 million, and their fan base doesn't really compare in terms of support that they've provided to UCLA. They're not able to raise the kind of money that we have from our fan base, which I found kind of shocking, because I always thought of UCLA as being an alumni and fan base that would really get behind that program. But I learned some good things from them, and we traded some secrets, and we'll try to incorporate some of those moving forward. But it's always good to compare notes with other schools as we travel about.
Well, Dirk, we do thank you for calling in tonight and speaking to us and our listeners. We wish you and the VAF every success going forward, as well as Coach London, Coach Bennett, and the whole athletic department. So thanks again for joining us tonight. We'll look forward to having you back.
Thanks a lot, guys. Great show. I enjoy the support that you provide to the program and giving the Cavaliers a voice in the Richmond area.
Well, that's the objective, and we're doing our best. But we thank you for your support of our efforts in that regard. So Dirk Kattstra joining us tonight on Who's Talking. We're going to go to break, and we'll be back with Chris Horn.